south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's start with an email. Get this out of the way. It's regarding El Salvador and what's happening with President Bukele over there. This comes from Bert. He says, Johnny, it's interesting how you've spoken a couple times how the international press hates President Bukele. They call him a tyrant, a dictator, any negative thing they can think of. Well, Johnny, I lived in El Salvador under the two previous administrations before Bukele. I lived there for a long while. My wife's from El Salvador, and I took early retirement to live in San Salvador, the capital. So I know a thing or two about what's really going on there. Bert says, what people don't know is that the international newswire services, like the BBC, Reuters, the Associated Press, and others, keep using news feeds from sources like El Diario de Hoy, El Faro, UCA University, etc., etc. Those news outlets are not credible sources of the truth. I could state that for sure because I know that in El Salvador, every one of those papers and news sources were vanguard news outlets for the previous two corrupt governments. They were the official news outlets, and they routinely received subsidies from the previous corrupt governments. They were against Bukele when he ran, and guess what? When he won, he cut their state funding. So naturally, they absolutely hate him. I've noticed now that those same news outlets are so concerned for the poor, but when the ones they supported had the power, the previous corrupt governments, they said nothing while filling their own pockets with the money that was supposed to be used for social services. They never talked about the plight of the poor until Bukele won. The UCA University, for example, an expensive private university, used to receive $30 million a year from the El Salvador government. Why? Nobody knows. And when Bukele came into power and debunked their corrupt system and cut them off, suddenly, or not so suddenly, they became paid dupes for the opposition, constantly sending out negative press releases to first world news channels, who are only so glad to publish anything negative against Bukele. Meanwhile, the poor and the common men are doing so much better in El Salvador, now that the gangs are not taking away a percentage of the little money they were able to earn. Isn't it funny, too, how most first world leaders, including the U.S., are criticizing Bukele? It seems they never let up. Why is it that all the countries who are doing much, much poorer, combating crime in their own countries, keep criticizing Bukele's success? While other Latin American country leaders and politicians think that Bukele's performed a miracle. In fact, they're using Bukele in their campaign slogans. They're all quick to point out they want to adopt Bukele's methods as soon as they can. I've seen that with Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, Honduras, and Guatemala. Anyway, Johnny, it's another case of you have to have lived here to know the truth. It seems to be that no first world news outlet reporter who is actively criticizing and dissing Bukele today has ever lived in El Salvador or spent any meaningful time talking to the people on the street. After all, it's much easier to phone in a story from the Salvador Hilton than it is from a $20 a night hotel in the barrio. Anyway, Johnny, just some thoughts from a guy who's lived through the old and new regimes. All right, thanks for that, Bert. By the way, did you know that just a couple of days ago, the El Salvador Supreme Court sentenced former president Mauricio Funes to 6 years in prison for tax evasion and other crimes? That, on top of a previous sentence, 14 years, for making deals with El Salvador's notorious street gangs. He was making deals with those same murderous guys who are now standing around bald-headed and in their undies in that maximum security prison. I'm sure you've seen the photos. Now, as is typical for ex-presidents, he took the money and ran, fled the country before he could be convicted. And now he's long gone. He was sentenced in absentia. That's right, he took the money and ran. Guess where? Nicaragua. And why wouldn't he? Since he was convicted of, quote, diverting. Yep, diverting. $300 million in state funds. So the woke press is calling stealing funds diverting funds now. Yeah, sounds kinder and gentler, right? Makes a maggotist pus bag sound a little less criminal, doesn't it? Oh, and by the way, President Ortega of Nicaragua, what a guy. That pillar of incest and pedophilia. He awarded Salvador's ex-president instant passport and citizenship. A clear case of citizenship by investment. Don't you think? $300 million worth. All right, yanking the wheel a bit here. By the way, I may have mentioned this before, but I noticed that Rod Stewart is touring through Latin America now. Really? Come on. Who in the hell wants to hear 78-year-old Rod Stewart sing, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" Do you think I'm saggy? Yeah, but sexy? You know who else is coming through? And they come through like every 4 years. Air Supply. Man, if they aren't the lamest duo in existence. You know, I've never met a guy, a male now, you know, XY chromosome, or a real musician for that matter, whoever bought a single Air Supply record. And the only guys I've ever known to have seen them live are guys who got dragged there kicking and screaming by their girlfriends. Come on, Air Supply, Michael Bolton, Kenny G, Rod Stewart. Quit touring, man. Don't embarrass yourself. Give it up. Remember Phil Collins' last tour? He did it in a wheelchair. I'm not kidding. I guess there really is no limit to a man's ability to be able to fool himself. I'm sure there are some people who think there's immense fulfillment to be had in rap and reggaeton music, too. You gotta wonder what their average IQ is. Some call it music, some call it noise. But don't underestimate the benefits of noise. Think subway noise and cows farting. Some people might get fulfillment out of that kind of noise, too. All right, switching gears. Here's a fun little mind game. I was sitting around with a bunch of gringo expats the other day at a little coffee shop. Great people watching. Older gringo expat guys. In pretty good shape, too, considering the junk they eat. All of them expats living down here permanently. Yep, it's kind of too bad that American junk food has permeated Latin America. So any grocery store you walk into, you could buy the junk food of your choice. And, of course, all the American fast food joints are down here, too. So it's not like it was years ago for gringos and expats first coming down. There was little junk food and not too many fast food joints, so you'd automatically lose weight. Just because you were forced to eat better and more healthful food. Anyway, I was sitting around with three gringo expats and three Latinos, too. And I posed a question. I asked them, what were the three principal things that caused them stress or friction in their lives when they lived back up in the States? Three things, by the way, that cannot be fixed. They're ever present. Well, as you might imagine, there were a lot more than three, but we kind of honed in on these three. Number one, the presence of so many woke a-holes. Definitely a problem that can't be fixed. Number two, continuous government interference and the loss of liberty. Also, by consensus, something that can't be fixed. Number three, people having to self-censor or face negative consequences, like get canceled, lose your job, piss off or even lose your liberal democratic friends, whatever. Now, also sitting at that table with those three gringo expats were three Latin American guys. No ladies hanging out with us this time, just guys. I asked the very same question to those three guys. I asked them what were the three main things that caused them so much stress that just could not be fixed. Remember, they're educated Latin Americans living here in Latin America. Their answers, their consensus, number one, dangerously bad drivers, something that's ever present and can't be fixed. Number two, endless lines in banks, stores, and government agencies, also something that's terribly persistent and can't be fixed. Number three, the persistence of mañana time. Now remember, these weren't three regular grunt working Latinos, they were Latino businessmen. So with them, as opposed to the rest of Latin society, time and time issues weighed heavily on their minds. It's as if down here in Latin America, you have to be a businessman to realize time is money. For everyone else, it doesn't work like that. But man, in the end, what a difference in the answers I got from the gringos versus the Latinos. The fact is, Latinos and even educated Latinos have no idea how bad the woke situation is up in the States. They've got no idea how the U.S. government has turned into a big brother state either. They don't even know what that is because down here in Latin America, no one's read 1984. When you mention George Orwell, even to the educated classes, they don't know what the hell you're talking about because it's got no relevance to their way of life. The fact is, the only reason why guys like George Orwell and books like 1984 are in our consciousness at all is because basically we're there. Hell, it was written in 1949, so it should have faded from popular consciousness a long, long time ago, like most books do. For about 30 years, it did fade away until 9/11, 20-something years ago, when suddenly intellectuals realized it was a blueprint for what's happening in the States right now. Anyway, what I'm saying is that's on no one's reading list here in Latin America because it's got no relevance down here. But up by you, it is pretty much an exact game plan. Oh, and by the way, when we had that little quiz, I edited that list. Everyone said, both gringos and Latinos, money or lack of money was a constant source of stress, at least in their younger years. However, we were talking about stressful things that were ever present and can't be fixed. And lack of money is fixable, for some people anyway. So it made both lists, and I took it off. Now, speaking of one of my favorite pastimes, sitting around with a bunch of gringo expats, shooting the breeze at a coffee joint. When you run into retired gringo expats sitting around shooting the breeze, it can be fun and enlightening. Though sometimes you just want to punch them in the face. Somewhere along the way, actually quite recently, I discovered something very interesting. A bit sad, too. Every last one of them admits to being on Cialis or Viagra. Yep, it's true. It seems almost all aging gringo expats are on the little blue pill. Now, apparently all single gringo expats I run into down here have pretty active sex lives, unless they're lying about it, which a lot of them probably are. Like that foolish gringo gone native I mentioned a couple of shows back, the guy missing the front tooth. If you recall, within the first 10 minutes of meeting the guy, he was talking about how he went to bed with 2,000 different women, like he was the gringo Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Clinton or something. The thing is, down here in Latin America for gringos and expats, it's a bullshitter's paradise. I've had conversations like this a number of times, talking to gringos and expats wondering if or how much of what they just said was bullshit or hyperbole. Because being down here in Latin America, especially living down here, 2,000 or 3,000 miles away from where you grew up, the town you were born in, where everybody knows you, in this region where almost no one speaks English, and you're kind of creating a new life for yourself, you could pretty much say anything you want to anyone, create any kind of backstory you want. And unless it's extremely outrageous, no one's going to question it. Why would they? And for sure, no one's going to fact check you, since you're in a world of much less stress, mañana time, etc., etc. Say what you want, even layer it on thick. No one really cares. But when you're sitting around a bunch of people and they're talking, there are some things that they'll say you have to believe are true. Like, for example, when a guy comes out and says, yeah, heading to the pharmacy, got to replenish my Viagra stock. Got a long, hard weekend coming up. Man, I'll tell you, it's an absolute fact. If you're sitting around with a group of gringo expats, especially older ones, it sure won't take long for someone to mention Cialis or Viagra. And it's rarely mentioned as a joke. It's just a matter of fact. It's part of the older expat food pyramid now. Now, as for me, since I haven't been back to the States since 1999, I don't know if males up there have those kind of routine coffee clutch conversations about Viagra and Cialis at the health club, Starbucks, the golf course, wherever. But I'm willing to bet they don't, because I'm pretty sure you 50, 60, and 70-something men living up in the States are not engaging in wild sexual weekend adventures. I'm kind of getting the picture that up in the States, a guy, after he's 50 years old, has pretty much thrown in the towel when it comes to the mating and dating game. He's given up not because he wants to, but because it's too dangerous out there. They say it's like walking on eggshells and just not worth it. Many guys are telling me you're better off not hooking up at all. Again, I wouldn't know about that because I haven't been back to the States for so long. But I certainly know it's not the case at all down here in Latin America. If you're single down here, man, even if you're old and decrepit, you're in demand. And there's no such thing as walking on eggshells. If you're a single guy down here, even an older single guy, much older, if you're interested in having a girlfriend and you haven't found one in due time, it's probably because you just don't get out of the house. Could be bad hygiene, too. Who knows? And even that's not much of an excuse if you have a cleaning lady. I know so many gringos and expats, even the most timid and nerdy of gringo expats, who ended up with girlfriends who were previously their cleaning ladies. Whatever floats your boat, right? In fact, you've heard me talk about retired ex-corrupt Boston cop Bob. He's been living down here permanently in Latin America since his retirement from the force about, I'd say, 7 or 8 years ago. He's about 60 years old and recently introduced me to his youngish 30-something Latin American girlfriend. And I said, where'd you meet her, Bob? She's one of the checkout girls at Costco, he said. I said, how'd you hook up with her? He said he'd stop at Costco every couple of weeks or so. And every time he saw her as a cashier at the checkout, he'd make sure he'd be in her line. And last year around Christmas, they had some kind of charity promotion going at Costco. And when you paid, the checkout lady would say, if you donate a dollar to so-and-so charity, you get a raffle ticket. They're going to raffle off a car in a couple of weeks. Well, Bob gave her a buck, and she gave him a pencil to fill in his name and his dad's and all that on the raffle ticket. Then he asked her for her name and her phone number. She said, what for? He says, I've got a car. I want you to win one. Of course, she smiled and gave her name and number. He came back a week or so later, got in her line, did exactly the same thing, bought a raffle ticket, asked her for her name and phone number. She smiled and obliged. The third time he came in, he did the very same thing, except this time he says, I'll take 5 of those raffle tickets. And then he said, now that I know your name and I've memorized your phone number, can I call you up and take you out for lunch or a cup of coffee? And she smiled again and said, sure. By the way, if you're wondering about the people behind him in line, what they were thinking of all this, he said they were all smiles and happy too. Everyone digs a love story. In fact, he said when the girl agreed to the date, the guy next in line gave him a big thumbs up. How about that for a hookup story? Now, the downside of that, Bob says, is that she's a single mom with 2 kids. And Bob has money and he doesn't like to see her kids go without. So he arranged it so those kids could go to private school. He's paying for it, of course. He can afford it, all right, but I can tell it's kind of complicated. But, you know, that's the price you pay in the adult mating and dating game. I mean, really. I'd say about only 5% of Latinas over 30 are childless. So chances are, if you hook up with a 30-something Latina, you're going to get some baggage along with that. Whereas up in the States, I just looked at the stats. For the year 2021, 38% of American ladies between 30 and 34 years old are childless. A big difference. It seems that down here in Latin America, if you hook up with a Latina, you're almost guaranteed an instant family. Something like 95% of the time, anyway. If you hook up with a lady up in the States, it's more like an instant family, 60% of the time. Of course, if you're 60 up in the States, you're probably not going to be going out with 30-year-olds. Let's not forget that most American guys over 30 years old have kid baggage, too. Big difference is if a guy's 50 or 60 years old, usually his kids are well out of the house, through college or maybe not, and working and having families of their own. Thus, realistically, no kid baggage unless you've got a deadbeat kid you're still supporting. A loser 30-something kid porn addict living in your basement. Sad to say, that's more and more common these days. So the thing you single expat older guys have to ask yourself is this. Sure, guys by nature are always looking for younger ladies. Like it or not, it's a universal fact of nature. If you do play that game, though, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're probably going to have the whole supporting the kids at home experience again. And if you weren't very good at it the first time around, there's no guarantee you'll be a success at it the second time around, especially since if you hook up with a Latina down here, those young kids you'll be supporting are not yours and they won't speak English either. And do get one thing into your thick skull. You will be supporting those kids. There's just an epidemic of single mothers down here whose deadbeat fathers have abandoned their families and don't support their kids. And if you end up hooking up with their mother, you're not going to let those kids fall by the wayside. Your first world values will not let that happen. You'll feel too guilty if you do. By the way, she didn't win that car, but Bob bought her one anyway, a used one. A little Kia. Good move, Bob. All right, moving on. How many of you guys and gals have visited Argentina lately? Probably none, huh? Not lately, anyway. Although, if you have dollars, man, could you clean up as a tourist? There's a fantastic exchange rate. But you'll have to carry everything around in cash because if you put in a bank account over there or try to withdraw, it's only $200 a month, you know. They only let you withdraw $200 a month from a bank or an ATM. That's a tourism killer, huh? So, you know, things can't go on like that forever. So what's happening now? Well, Argentina's currency crisis is so dire. You know, they've had 100% inflation a year for the past couple of years. Anyway, it's so dire, they're allowing people to open bank accounts in Chinese yuan. Yep, that's right. How about if you went into your bank in Chicago or Cleveland, and they gave you an option to open up an account in Chinese yuan? You'd think, man, something was terribly wrong with my country. Wait a minute. We knew that already, right? That's a given. That's why you're listening to this show, The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you thought everything was okay up in the States and that you had a good future up there, you wouldn't be listening to me right now, right? Anyway, in Argentina, things have gone down the toilet so quickly, with the country facing such a drastic shortage of U.S. dollars, that the Argentine peso has fallen 80% against the U.S. dollars since the start of 2020, just 3 years ago. So faced with such a crisis and not much other choice, the Central Bank of Argentina said in a Thursday statement on its website that it's now allowing Chinese yuan as a form of currency in savings and checking accounts, also allowing banks to issue CDs in Chinese yuan. Sounds like real good news for the Chinese and bad news for the Argentines, except for the fact that China is Argentina's biggest trading partner. So in fact, Argentina's 500 biggest companies are looking forward to paying their bills in yuan, since before this, they'd have to convert pesos to dollars and pay the Chinese in dollars. They're relieved that they'll be able to pay for those imports in yuan instead of losing on the exchange rate in dollars. Yep, so get used to it. It's the way of the future. Countries getting away from paying for everything in dollars. Of course, in the end, you know what that's going to do to the value of the dollar, right? But you knew that story already, correct? Meanwhile, we've got reason 5,426 why it's time to get the hell out of Dodge as fast as you can. Especially California. That's bizarro land. Judging from this article that just came across the newswire. Get this. The headline states, quote, California Reparations Task Force calls to ban police from enforcing public urination laws. I'll paraphrase this. It says California's Reparations Task Force wants state lawmakers to ban the arrest and prosecution of people who violate laws against public urination and other public disorder offenses like pooping in parks and public spaces. It says the task force calls to end police enforcement of laws, including public urination, which is among the official policy recommendations listed in the final report, which contains 40 chapters and runs well over 1,000 pages. Man, what kind of brain-dead maggots think up that kind of stuff? Anyway, deep in the report it says, although the subjects of these violations are often experiencing homelessness or a mental health crisis, or both, the officers who respond to those typical peeing and pooping offenses possess neither the training nor expertise in working with these vulnerable populations, says the report. This disconnect often results in the use of excessive force and sometimes fatal force that falls disproportionately on black individuals, it says. So, wait a minute. Let's get analytical here. That must mean then there are more black public peers and poopers out there than white, Hispanic, or Asian public peers and poopers. That doesn't seem right. There's something wrong with the math there. If blacks are 13 to 15% of the U.S. population, that means 85% of those other peers and poopers are from other races. So the numbers don't jive. What this group is saying, the cops are over-policing black public space peers and poopers, yet they give no data. Ah, but here's the kicker. It starts making sense at the end of the article. It says, anyone arrested or criminally prosecuted for one of these violations should be granted a private right of action to sue for damages and automatically receive a damage payout. Aha, I get it now. It's a public peeing and pooping reparations bill. The article says this is not the first time the Californian left-wing voices have said law enforcement should turn a blind eye to publicly emptying one's colon or bladder. Oh, and here's something new. They're calling these kinds of crimes that they want the police to stop enforcing, quote, quality of life crimes. That's a new one. Which begs the question, how's your plan B coming? I don't get it. How can you Californians live any kind of normal, healthy life with such a demented population and twisted state government? Anyway, if you want a copy of this article to read and weep over, send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. All right, so since we were talking about mating and dating earlier in the show, I'd like to close out this segment today with an email from Henry, a 54-year-old expat who's been living here in Latin America for 5 years now. A guy, I should mention, has dated a handful of 20 and 30-something Latinas. He says, Johnny, I won't be dating younger girls anymore. I'll stick to girls closer to my own age. Problem with dating younger girls, and here are my turnoffs. Things that drive me nuts, things that get on my nerves. Number one, any smoking, tobacco, or drug use, including marijuana. Number two, excessive amounts of tattoos. Some are fine as long as they're tasteful and slightly hidden, but less is more. Face, neck, hands, chest, butt, tramp stamp, and stomach are bad locations for tattoos on women, period. You can't unsee those things. Number three, I can't stand piercings anywhere but the ear. And no loop-to-loop ear hole plugs, please. Whoever started that trend should be tortured. Number four, I won't go out with a girl whose hair is dyed in weird colors, blue, purple, green, etc. That's not to say it doesn't occasionally look okay, but more often than not, it's a turnoff. Turnoff number six, super long fake nails. Man, that just screams high maintenance. Turnoff number eight, taking and posting selfies and posting food photos on a date. Who wants to be with someone so wrapped up in themselves? Then he says, Johnny, about a lady's personality. She's got to have one. She can't just sit there and be boring. Who cares if she's super hot and got nothing worthwhile to say or do? You get tired of that pretty fast. A sense of humor is important, too. If she can't laugh, there's something wrong with her. All right, me, Johnny, here chiming in. I beg to differ, Mr. Expat, about that personality thing. How would you know if you don't speak Spanish? I bet you don't. You'll never be able to figure out her personality or if you're compatible. Whether she's upbeat, positive, caustic, negative, optimistic, pessimistic, clever, dumb, or average. You'll never figure it out. You'll just be guessing. Unless you two speak the same language. Communicating through Google Translate will not cut it. All right, then he says, oh, and Johnny, you're right about one thing you mentioned in a past show. After you've gone out with a Latina for a couple of dates, the time will come that she demands to go through your phone because her ex cheated. Yep, it was her ex that cheated on her. So she's going to look in my phone? I don't think so. You don't get access to my phone based on something that some strange a-hole did to you 6 months ago. Nope, that's a deal breaker. Okay, turn off number 9. Astrology. I don't give a damn what your sign is, and you shouldn't give a damn about mine either. If a girl mentions it more than once on the first date, I'm out. I wonder what the average IQ is of people that believe in it. Now, of course, that's not to say you can't get a kick out of reading an astrology column in the paper just to get a laugh. But if in the first 3 minutes of the very first date, they're asking you your sign and telling you theirs and who isn't compatible, that pretty much does it for me. Turn off number 9, fat girls with their bare stomachs hanging out. When did that start happening? Talk about extreme self-confidence. Funny thing, too, when I was a kid, you had to go to the circus and pay money to see a fat lady with tattoos in a tube top. Oh, and finally, ladies, don't talk about your eating disorder on the first date. Okay, Henry, thanks for that. Though, I think you're being a little too rough. So, in the next show, I'll give the ladies their shot at hitting back at the guys. They're dating deal breakers. Though, I have to say, loneliness makes men and women lower the bar. So, hang in there. Remember, when you first get down here to Latin America, you'll find yourself like a kid in a candy store. Remember the old saying, only fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Have you been there? I have.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.